I have some question first myself. And during my questioning, when you answer and I translate, if somebody called, you go into the caller, and then they can ask their question.
Thank you.
Dr. Cheshti, you said so many things. It is so beautiful. One of the things you talk about, the essence of the Tawheed, Sifat Allah, that is the one thing we have to walk through it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How can we understand and feel the manifestation of that? Are you telling that is inside us? We have to just clear ourselves from duality to bring it out? Or we have to put them in there?
Everyone will understand unity according to their ability to understand Allah. And it's a very difficult thing to describe how one can understand what the Sifat-i-Allah is helping them to see. But if they practice and take the Sifat-i-Allah as a practice each day.
You mean Sifat-i-Allah, I take it as my own Sifat. And go on with it in my life.
So that you take it on as your practice. Mm-hmm. Let us say every month you recite a different quality of the Sifat-i-Allah.
That is so beautiful. That is so wonderful. Another thing you were talking about, the friend of Allah. That is very beautiful. I don't think any friend could be better than Allah. Because there is no limitation, it's just the infinity, and never anything we say and we do, still we have that strong friend for ourselves. But can you open it a little bit for us? How can I understand Allah is my friend?
Well, I only can use the very precious quote of Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi when he said, God is not my jailer. And he says in his poem, I run to God as though I run to a lover. I turn to God as my dearest friend. I go to God as the greatest companion of my existence. And in actuality, it's the one that you would go to when everything seems to be difficult,
mm-hmm.
whenever you have your heart is hurt, or you feel depressed because you didn't get the job you wanted, or your husband or your wife said something that displeased you, or you made a mistake and said something you didn't want to say to someone that you love very much.
Actually, we do that in the real life with our close friend, human friend.
We do.
But we value that more. But when we do that with God, and in the hardest time of our life, we just turn to only one. Say, please help us.
Yes.
Open the way. But when it's open, we forget.
Yes, we forget that communication and that embracing quality of always that loving, unconditional loving is always there for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we would not be here if we were not loved.
I'm sure people are going to ask, how come doesn't answer me? I know they have some problem. They always ask that question. What can you tell them?
Well, it all depends how we are listening into our hearts, or we are seeing through our eyes the divine messages.
Mm.
There are ways of seeing and ways of hearing that are very inward and mysterious. And if we learn how to really listen to our hearts, we will find that the answer will be there.
That is so beautiful. How you can give them the guidance of how to listen?
Well, I would say first, there is never a question or a prayer that is asked that does not have the answer within it.
Ah.
That's number one. And then number two is, if you try to be quiet,
mm-hmm.
if you can be quiet,
mm-hmm.
and sit still and just feel your breath as though Allah was breathing you. It's a simple exercise, but one that is very powerful. Allah will bestow upon you the answer that is already living in the question that you asked. But take time and be willing to wait. But it is said, it will come.
It's a beautiful proverb in Farsi. They said, if you have patience, you can make from the sour grape a very delicious and sweet halwa.
And you know the wonderful saying in the Holy Quran, which is you take one step to Allah and Allah will take 10 to you.
Exactly.
That's the point. So it will come, and it will come abundantly.
That is beautiful. That was a beautiful answer, and I really, really like that. Okay. One other question, it was on the way when I was translating it, and I thought, I know the people that are sitting and listening to us, they have this question. The great Tawheed, you said, how you can justify that? To say great or say Tawheed or anything to the Tawheed. Because Tawheed by itself is amazingly magnificent.
Yes, yes.
Incredible. So can you explain that a little bit? I know it's a word, but I want you to explain it a little bit.
It's almost as though great can't even be beside it.
Yeah.
Because Tawheed of itself is so all-embracing. Mm-hmm. It's so large that we don't even have expressions in our language. Mm-hmm. So even to use the word great was a mistake. Mm. You can't even put words next to Tawheed. Tawheed stands unto itself as one of the most profound understandings that exist. So no, you can't put a word beside it to define it. You can't put great or small. There is no small Tawheed and there is no great Tawheed. There is just Tawheed.
Okay, this is my question about what you said, but now it comes another question from my own. And I want everybody else to listen to this. And after this, if you're willing to go on the phone and ask your question, that would be fine with us. The whole world, there are people. They are murshade, they are sheikh, they are wise people, wise woman, wise man. They know all these things. But what is it missing in there? We cannot relay all this beautiful and the beauty of the peace to the whole world instead of all this killing each other and all these problems, diseases, and it is the horrendous. Fight with the food and children and a lot of trouble in the world.
Yes.
How is it? Are we weak or we don't know how to get into it? What can we do? What do you have for that? I know it's a very hard question, but I like when we are here, at least both of us can do something, and our viewers, they're wonderful. They can help us to go through it too.
Well, maybe our viewers will have some points of view about how to help the world in this way. And I would be interested to hear about what they would say about that, because this is probably the question that's facing us today. Mm-hmm. That is the most pressing question in the world. Mm-hmm. But through my understanding, I feel that we all learn and come to Tawheed in many different ways and under different timings of awareness. And oftentimes, in our evolution of learning, mm-hmm. we are on sometimes very basic levels of learning through mm-hmm. the nafs, through the development of nafs awareness. Mm-hmm. And when we are on those degrees of nafs, we don't really understand or care about the community of beings that we are surrounded in our life in the globe. Mm-hmm. And I think that these levels of awareness are very, very important to look at as stages of discovery of Tawheed. But what we can do with those lower stages, or those stages in which we're not mindful of how we are treating other people, and how we are, whether we are advocating violence or advocating difficulties that would enter a person's life, we can begin to use the difficulties that others are showing as a way to even practice more. We can come to our practice of Tawheed with greater commitment to bring harmony and to bring peace and to bring happiness in the world. We can commit ourselves even more.
I know exactly how you're saying it, but we are trying. Like, I have a TV program. The only reason I have a TV program, because to be honest with you, I want to bring inner peace and relay that peace out to the society, to the family, and hopefully, I'm just trying so hard to go to the society, first to the family and the society, to the world. I don't know, I think sometimes wishful thinking, but I know it's there. But I know it's there. The only thing it is, how we can say it to that. There is a fear between the different religion practitioner. If you say Allah, they say, it's not our Lord. It's not our God. If you say God, they say, oh no, you have to say Allah. If you say Tawheed, they know the meaning of the Tawheed. Everybody believes in Tawheed. But because it is the word, they're scared to touch it. That fear, I think, the number one enemy of the problem in the whole world.
Well, I do think fear is a very big and difficult issue to deal with in all levels of personal awareness and community awareness. There is no doubt about those ideas, that at the very base of fear is a sense of aloneness, of being alone. And if we would look around the world, we can see that we are so many of us now. There are so many beings in the world that we can never really be alone. So the whole idea of aloneness, which has a lot to do with fearfulness, or even if it's a political desire to be isolated away from a larger part of the community, like there are many areas of the world that want to isolate and go back to old-fashioned ways of thinking or to old ways of doing things, that is a moving away from Tawheed. The idea of Tawheed is to do all actions.
But there is no old-fashioned way for Maulana.
No.
There is no old-fashioned way for Hafez, for Sa'di.
And why is that? Because they are talking about one basic thing, and that is about the aspect of love. They are speaking about how to love. And when we speak about how to love, and that is where our energy is, we don't really have to use the word God or Allah if we are speaking to another religious doctrine of people. We don't have to use that word. We can simply use the word love.
Yeah,
and love will unite us and bring us into Tawheed, because love is the common word among all faiths. See, we don't want to proselytize or even encourage uniformity. Uniformity is not what Tawheed is. It isn't in the essence of Tawheed, because uniformity would say, or it would demand, that we use the same expression for God, we have the same ways of doing our prayers, we would dress the same way, we would all have the same hair color, we would all have the same color eyes, we would all have the same color skin. There is no such a thing. If we look, all the flowers are going to be different, and all of them will be the reigning beauty of God's great diversity in Tawheed, and yet they are still a field of flowers.
As a matter of fact, there is in the Quran, God is talking to Prophet Muhammad, and it's saying, if I wanted to make you one congregation with one belief, I could do that. But I didn't do that on purpose.
There it is.
That is very beautiful, because I don't know for some reason why people are trying to make everybody look like themselves.
Right.
Like sometimes I watch the American prison or jail, like they're the white supremacy, they're African American, they're Mexican, people they're there, even there, they are in the bundle. They something surrounding them, making them like they cannot do anything, but they make a division and they kill each other.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they make it horrible. That is, I call them nafs amare.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would too. Yes, because you cannot have that kind of uniformity without the celebration of unique expression. Because look at how old, we all have the same arms, we all have the same legs, we all have the same nose and the same mouth and same eye. But look at how different we all are mm-hmm. when we look at the faces of the many people in the globe of this world.
Look at today, the whole world, they're trying to make atomic bomb.
Oh, yes.
For what? One of them is enough to get rid of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But that is because of the mentality and the psychology of when people tells you, even people in the law, okay, somebody attack you, go buy a gun.
That's right.
And they give you some certificate because you're allowed to have this. If they come in, you can kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you kill him, you're not guilty anymore.
Yes.
See, there are things, there are duality in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we are trying to take people away from that, bring them to the unity, and people are confused.
Oh, of course, because the way that fear is structured, fear will always keep you in separation from mm-hmm. Allah.
Mm-hmm.
That is what fear does. Fear acts as a jail
mm-hmm.
For you to stay confined in and isolated. But the minute you are open your heart, mm-hmm. the gate of that jail is opened
mm-hmm.
and Allah can be your friend.
Mm-hmm.
You are no longer fearful and you lose that fear. You know, you always, one always feels fearful when they feel alone.
Uh-huh.
It seems to be common within the human psychology.
It is.
When one feels alone, mm-hmm. one has a sense of fearfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it is the driving force to isolate, whether it's a community of people away from other people.
Mm-hmm.
There is a tendency to pull other people into one's own fearful isolation and make a cult or a group that stands away and will wish to hurt mm-hmm. other members of the human community. And that's why in psychology, how the psychologist helps someone who is in a very fearful state of isolation is they bring them into communication with one other person, which is the psychologist, and that begins the healing path.
Wow, that is beautiful.
So that it reminds me of that wonderful saying of Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi when he says, I become then a water wheel turning and tasting you all the time, again and again. So when I move into relationship with one person, one other person, I begin to see my path toward relating to you, Allah.
Well, that is so beautiful. You have to be together. There is no other way. You have to love everyone. There is no other direction.
That's
after
great.
What Maulana said.
That's great.
If you don't love each other, you don't love everyone, no matter how different they are, no matter how horrible you think they are, then you cannot go toward Allah.
That's so true. And you know, one of the great ways in which we practice this at the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology, mm-hmm. and that becomes a method
mm-hmm.
for learning how to work and to move into Tawheed, is that we learn how to talk with those who are very different.
Mm-hmm.
And to advocate talking with those who have a very different ideology, a very different culture,
mm-hmm.
a very different approach to life, we begin to start the process of opening the heart away from isolation.
Mm.
So ultimately, my thoughts on this would be to advocate for anyone living anywhere in the world where they see difficulty, for instance, between religious practitioners of different faith systems, mm-hmm. to advocate setting up a small circle or a tea mm-hmm. in their house to talk to people who have a very different belief system and invite them into their own house. So you don't have to necessarily agree with everything the other person is advocating, but what you do have to do, and they have to do it for you, is they have to listen. There is a wonderful Sufi saying that if we can eat together, and we can dance together, and we can pray together, there will be world peace.
Wow, that is so beautiful. That is so beautiful, Dr. Sheshti. I love what you're saying. I have something to add up with this. I think the best thing is for, especially we have a lot of Iranian and Afghani viewer, they're Farsi speaking people, they're sitting and listening to us right now. I think the best thing is they come out of their own shell. You don't have to speak everybody's Farsi speaking. You can go with somebody speak Turkish, somebody speak Spanish, English, French. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter you don't speak your own language. Here, at least, you can speak English together. It doesn't matter how much English you know. That's the only way you learn that language instead of going to adult education. And you learn to know the people.
Yes, that's so helpful, because when I go to the Middle East or when I travel in other countries, I often go to, I'm invited over to people's house to have dinner and to meet their family, and they don't speak English. Mm-hmm. And it offers me an opportunity just to feel what the feeling is in the community and in the family. And that's very precious. It was always a very precious experience in my life to do that.
Dr. Sheshti, I used to have a student. His name was Stephen. And he was not speaking a word of Arabic or Farsi, but English only. And he said that when I was speaking Farsi or Arabic, I felt like he was closing his eyes and he's the only one understanding what I'm saying. And I asked him, do you know Farsi? Do you know Arabic? He said, no. I feel it when you're saying it.
Yes, that's beautiful. Because the heart doesn't need words. The heart has its own language, and we can understand it if we just allow ourselves to be silent in our own being.
I have, my brother had a little girl. They came here and visited my grandson. They were the same age. She doesn't speak English. He doesn't speak Farsi. So they sat, they went in the other room, they start playing. They were laughing so hard. I went to check on them, what they're doing, they're laughing. They were speaking, but something, I didn't know what language
it was.
Oh,
they were making it up.
So that is the word is.
Yes, children love to do that. Children make up their own language.
Because they are more pure.
Yes.
They don't have all that do and don'ts in their subconscious yet.
And they're just actually expressing feelings as they're just making up their words. I my granddaughter does that all the time. She makes up her own language, and it's absolutely marvelous.
That is so beautiful. We can go on about Tawheed. We never finish.
We never finish on this subject. No, no. Because the inner voice, if we really listen to the voice of the heart, which was your friend Stephen, you know, your student Stephen has indicated, if we really listen to the voice of the heart, that is the step into the idea of Tawheed. You know, as we said earlier, we can't really define the essence of Tawheed because it's too big. But we can find steps toward it, and it is through the feeling heart that we can step toward that great light.
Because you are a master, I know you are a master, and I accept you are, I believe in you. I have a question for you. There are people, they have different experiences, like in their dream, or even when they are awake, they have some experiences. Some of them, they have it and they forget it. But it's amazing they change. It reminds me the Mi'raj Prophet.
Oh, yes.
Sallallahu alayhi. Can you define that a little bit, how it is? Can you explain in your Sufi or there how you're saying it when somebody come and tell you, I had the amazing experience, and you ask, what was that? I said, I forgot, but I know it was amazing. Mm. What are you saying?
Well, you know, I consider it such a holy moment, such a blessed and holy moment. My only reaction is to go into a deep state of prayer and thanksgiving, because I give thanks to Allah for giving that person that chance to see something, even if they don't remember it, because ultimately they will remember it sometime. They will remember it again. And you know, sometimes that one moment is enough, because they will always have that special blessing from Allah that helps them in all difficulties in life. And it might have been as short as a second of a breath, but it will help them sometime in some difficulty in life that they had that special blessing being given to them. We don't have to develop a doctrine for remembrance, because remembrance comes when the heart is open and when we are able to understand the deep blessing it is to just be alive. You know, there's a great Christian mystic. His name was Meister Eckhart. Mm-hmm. And he said that the greatest spiritual practice is in giving thanks for the blessing of this life and the blessing of this breath. Mm-hmm. And in essence, that saying by Meister Eckhart goes so close to the awareness of Tawheed. Because when we are in true thanksgiving, and even when those special, think of those special moments, that's almost the cherry on the top of the cake, you know, the special blessing that comes.
The last part.
Yes, the last part of the cake, that's right, that comes with that awareness, when we have even a moment of awareness of that divine unity, that in giving thanks, we are coming into that coming awareness. Just by giving thanks to Allah every day for your life, for your family, for your children, for your job, for all your friends, for your world, for whatever it is that you have, that you value.
How close we are with everything, and how much we have inside us, and we are so complete.
Yes.
We are so complete.
That's right.
We are so self-sufficient, but we don't know the value of ourselves.
Yes, we are actually so divine.
We are. When we have the sufficiency of everything, that's what we are.
And that's what gratitude helps us come to. I think gratitude is a wonderful task with the Sifati Allah. You know, don't forget, when we say Ya Shakur, we are also saying the divine gratitude.
That is Sifati Allah.
You know, that's so right. That is the Sifati Allah. Shukr. And that's why the practice of Sifati Allah is the gateway. It's the bridge to get us into Tawheed, because all the qualities of our divine divine aspiration, our divine prayer is there for us if we just take it. We've been given it as Muslims. We've been given that great blessing. Let us use it.
A lot of people, they said, we do shukr, but nothing worked out. And I said, you didn't taste it, the real shukr.
Yes.
If you do that, the shukran Allah, Allahu shakur, it has to be one thing. It can't be only just the lip service.
That's right, that's right.
It has to come from the heart.
Yes, and the mind and the heart and the body all acting as one instrument takes you into a deeper understanding. Now, sometimes we have difficulties with that because our mind is distracted, we have lots of noise in our mind, and our mouth is doing one thing and our mind is doing another thing. But by slowing down and gently taking yourself into harmony, bringing yourself together so that you are focusing on the one attribute that you are practicing for that time, like Yashapur, mm-hmm. we begin to move into that idea of Tawhid.